In 1999, a Canberra grandmother died in a hallway following a violent robbery. For two decades, her family had been waiting for answers. Now, two men accused of the murder of Irma Palasics are on trial. In the case of the two intruders, we'll take you inside the courtroom as we watch the jury decide if these are the men who killed Irma. Search for The Case Of on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
July 1658. The great Mughal ruler Shah Jahan looks across the city of Agra towards his greatest architectural achievement, the Taj Mahal. He can view it from different corners of the Red Fort of Agra, his palace cum military stronghold, another grand Mughal building that's still there today. Shah Jahan began building the Taj Mahal as a mausoleum for his wife Mumtaz Mahal just 1 year after she died at the age of 38. He was said to have been completely devastated by her death. He had several wives, but it was Mumtaz whom he loved most deeply. Their marriage was unusually devoted. Mumtaz was more than just a wife, she was his political partner. No imperial order could be issued without her. Together, they had 14 children, seven of whom made it to adulthood. Now in his early 60s, Shah Jahan finds himself under house arrest at the Agra Fort on the order of one of his sons. For a family that grew from a great love story, there's now conflict and division amongst the children, betrayal, disagreements, and all-out war. And it's about to get much worse for this grand Mughal family. By the end of the story, one son will assassinate another. The death will spark what many say was the beginning of the end of the Mughal Empire. Hello, my friend. I'm Aslan Pahari, and this is Assassins. Today's episode is about the killing of Dara Shikoh. But this story isn't just about an assassination, it's about a choice. In the 17th century, the Mughals ruled most of the Indian subcontinent. It was an empire of immense wealth and extraordinary diversity. Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Jains, and countless local traditions lived under one imperial system. Two brothers offered two different visions of the future for that empire. Dara Shikoh believed that truth could be found across religions. His brother Aurangzeb believed that religious truth could not be shared. Only one of their visions would survive. One thing to understand about the Mughal Empire is that there was no law of succession. There was no rule that the eldest son inherited the throne. Every son of the emperor had an equal claim. The throne went to whoever could seize it. The logic was simple. The strongest ruler deserved to rule, and strength was proven through survival, military victory, and the elimination of rivals. None of this prevents the Mughal ruler from having a favourite, a preferred heir to the throne. For the Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan, that person was Dara Shikoh. Dara Shikoh was Shah Jahan's eldest son. He kept Dara close to him at the royal court, while his brothers were sent to govern distant provinces. Perhaps unsurprisingly, this favouritism bred resentment from his brothers and even his sisters. You see, while his elder sister Jahanara supported him, his younger sister Roshanara later sided with the others. Dara's three brothers, Aurangzeb, Shah Shuja and Murad, watched their father grow closer to their eldest brother. Their resentment would eventually spark a war between them all. Dara Shikoh was born in Ajmer and received the finest education in the empire. He studied Arabic and Persian to master Islamic scholarship. He learned Sanskrit to read Hindu philosophy directly. Dara was not drawn to conquest. Instead, he was drawn to meaning. He became a devoted Sufi. He debated yogis and pundits. He held conversations with Sikh leaders. His most controversial act was translating 52 Upanishads into Persian. In the introduction, he claimed these texts were the hidden book mentioned in the Quran. And Dara didn't just tolerate other religions, he believed they were spiritually equal. In the Mughal court, this belief made him dangerous. Dara Shikoh's intellectual confidence masked some serious weaknesses. Like, he had very little military experience. While his brothers governed provinces and led armies, Dara remained at home in the Mughal court. His first major campaign at Kandahar was a failure. He ignored experienced generals and relied on poor judgment. Military officers lost faith in him. Dara also alienated powerful clerics. He mocked orthodox scholars. He was reported to have said paradise existed where no mullahs could be found. These actions created enemies where he needed allies. In the Mughal system, an emperor required the loyalty of the army and the approval of the religious establishment. Dara lost both. And when war came, ideas alone would not protect him. In temperament and training, Aurangzeb was the opposite of his brother Dara Shikoh. From an early age, Aurangzeb lived a disciplined and austere life. He prayed regularly, studied Islamic law, and avoided courtly excess. He governed difficult provinces and led campaigns in the Deccan, the most volatile region of the empire. He learned how to manage large armies in hostile terrain. This experience mattered. His military officers trusted his judgment. Religion-wise, Aurangzeb believed the state had a duty to enforce Islamic orthodoxy. Politically, Aurangzeb understood power. He knew when to wait, when to strike, and when mercy was a liability. In September 1657, their father, Emperor Shah Jahan, became seriously ill. He stopped appearing at court and attending public rituals. The news of his poor health spread quickly. Dara Shikoh assumed control of the court and treasury. It was logical. He was the eldest son and his father's favorite. But it was a dangerous move, and it triggered the War of Succession. The Mughal Empire now fractures into four competing claims. Dara Shikoh controls the imperial capital, the treasury, and the court. He has his father's backing and the symbolic legitimacy of being heir. Brother number three, Shah Shuja, rules Bengal and Orissa. And it's this brother who makes the first move, by declaring himself emperor and marching his army westward. But Dara's generals defeat Shuja. This should have secured Dara's position. Instead, it exposes his weakness. Dara leaves his best troops in the east and pursues this defeated brother. He believes the greater danger has passed. It hasn't. In the south, Aurangzeb forms an alliance with the youngest brother, Murad Bakhsh. Aurangzeb promises Murad the throne and offers himself as chief minister. Murad believes him. Together, their armies advance north. To stop them, Dara sends what's left of his imperial forces. But Aurangzeb's veterans crush Dara's troops. European artillery, discipline, and command experience decide the battle. Aurangzeb appears unstoppable. So now, we've got a father who's been sidelined and two brothers united against another brother. Aurangzeb and Murad both advance quickly towards the Mughal capital, Agra. Dara has little time and fewer options. Instead of waiting for reinforcements, he decides to confront the two brothers immediately. The two armies meet in May 1658, near Samugar, just east of Agra. Both sides roughly equal in number, but poles apart in experience. Dara's cavalry charges first and makes gains. His Rajput units fight fiercely and Murad Bakhsh is wounded. For a brief moment, Aurangzeb's left flank wavers. Then Dara makes a catastrophic decision. Under artillery fire, and for reasons we still don't understand, he dismounts from his elephant and instead rides a horse. It's a single action that forever alters Dara Shikoh's fate. Did he not realize the significance of what he was doing? Was it his lack of military experience? Whatever the case, Dara's elephant, now uncontrolled, flees the battlefield. And to soldiers watching from a distance, the sight of the elephant running away has unmistakable meaning. They believe Dara has been killed. Panic spreads instantly. Some surrender, while others flee. Aurangzeb orders his bands to play the victory music. The signal is clear. Dara's army dissolves in minutes. After the defeat at Samugar, the Emperor Shah Jahan is officially declared unfit to rule and is confined to the Agra fort. In reality, he's become a prisoner and will spend the rest of his life looking across the Yamuna River at the Taj Mahal, the tomb of his wife. Aurangzeb can now declare himself emperor under the title Alamgir, meaning conqueror of the world. And the heir apparent, Dara Shikoh, is forced to become a fugitive. Dara flees with what remains of his family and followers, first to Delhi, then to Lahore. From there, he moves south, searching for allies willing to risk everything for a defeated prince. Each stop fails him. With no army left, Dara seeks refuge with an Afghan chieftain named Malik Jeevan, whose life Dara once saved. Dara trusts him. It proves to be a fatal mistake. On June 10th, 1659, Malik Jeevan hands him over to Aurangzeb's men. Dara Shikoh is placed in chains. The war is now over. The humiliation is about to begin. Dara Shikoh is brought back to Delhi in late August 1659. The would-be emperor is paraded through the streets on an elephant. Stripped of the luxurious dress of a Mughal leader, he now wears rough cloth. The spectacle is meant to intimidate the public and crush any remaining loyalty to Dara. But it does the opposite. Eyewitnesses later report widespread grief. Men and women weep openly. Many had admired Dara as a just and gentle prince. Seeing him degraded stirs sympathy, not fear. This reaction alarms Aurangzeb. Dara was defeated, but he's still loved. As long as he remains alive, he'll be a challenge to Aurangzeb's legitimacy. Dara Shikoh needs to die. But Aurangzeb can't just get rid of him. He needs to come up with a reason to kill Shah Jahan's chosen heir. The next thing Aurangzeb does is convene an assembly of nobles and religious scholars. He doesn't charge Dara with rebellion, he charges him with apostasy, alleging he deviated from Islamic orthodoxy. Dara's writings are read aloud, and to the orthodox scholars, this was more than enough. They declare Dara a threat to public order and an enemy of Islam. The verdict frames his execution not as murder, but as religious necessity. The decision is final. Dara Shikoh will die and his son will be imprisoned. They want his whole legacy erased. The order is given quietly. The execution is scheduled for that very night, August 30, 1659. Dara Shikoh doesn't even realize what's about to happen. It's now evening, and Dara Shikoh sits with his son, Sifa Shikoh, while he cooks them both some lentils. He's preparing the meal himself, perhaps fearful of being poisoned. Then, the sound of footsteps echoing outside the chamber. Five men enter. No charges are read, no explanation is offered. Dara's son clings to him as he tries to resist. The men drag the boy away. A sword is raised. Dara is struck repeatedly until he collapses dead. The soldiers then decapitate him. Then they place Dara's head on a dish and bring it to Aurangzeb. He inspects it closely to confirm the identity. Only then does he allow the body to be disposed of. Dara Shikoh is buried without honor. His grave, within the Humayun's tomb complex in Delhi, is left unmarked. The philosopher prince of the Mughal Empire is gone. With Dara Shikoh dead, Aurangzeb moves quickly. You might think this was the perfect time for a divided family to come together, now that one of them is emperor. But Aurangzeb turns on his remaining brothers. Murad Bakhsh is arrested during a drinking gathering. He's charged with murder and executed. Shah Shuja flees east and disappears, likely killed in exile. No rivals are left alive. By 1661, Aurangzeb stands alone as ruler of the Mughal Empire. The succession war is over. The age of tolerance that had defined earlier Mughal rule is coming to an end. Aurangzeb ruled the Mughal Empire for nearly 50 years. Under his reign, the empire became the largest it would ever be. On maps, it appeared stronger than ever. In reality, it was being hollowed out from within. Aurangzeb governed through religious orthodoxy and force. He reimposed the jizya tax on anyone who wasn't Muslim, a tax that had been abolished under Emperor Akbar. Aurangzeb ordered the destruction of places of worship belonging to other religions, which he remains heavily criticized for today. Interestingly, music and courtly arts also lost imperial patronage. But most of Aurangzeb's reign was spent trying to either reconquer lost land or caught up in small revolts across the empire. By the time Aurangzeb died in 1707, the Mughal Empire was stretched thin. It was still geographically vast, but those foundations laid by earlier emperors had cracked. Some scholars have since argued that if Darashikoh had not been killed, the communal divisions we see today in the subcontinent would never have begun. But others remain skeptical. Dara lacked political discipline. He had alienated clerics and generals. Even if he had won the throne, he might have struggled to hold it. It's something we will never know. A small final note. This story started with a marriage of love, and it will end with marriage too. After Darashikoh's death, his sister Jahanara reconciled with Aurangzeb and quietly began the work of mending the huge family rift. She sought to protect Dara's children and urged Aurangzeb to see that safeguarding them would be good for the empire. In fact, she helped arrange a marriage between one of Darashikoh's daughters and one of Aurangzeb's sons. Aurangzeb apparently later became very fond of Dara's daughter. But that's not the final marriage for today. That goes to Sifar Shikoh, the young son who was with Darashikoh on the night he was killed. He spent over a decade imprisoned in a fort, and when he got out, he also married a cousin. Her name was Shubdit-un-Nisa Begum, and she was Aurangzeb's daughter. Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by Tegan Nichols. Kyla Slaven is the supervising producer. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt and Dylan Bien. I hope to hear from you soon, my friends.